Welcome to Problem Solve, the podcast where me and a special co-host solve all your problems really easily, probably. Hello and welcome to Problem Solved. I am Jeff Gunther, licensed professional counselor, and I am back today with my very good friend, Amanda Fever, co-host therapist. We are going to be talking to a caller who's struggling with feeling a little overwhelmed with her partner. And she can probably identify as somebody that has an avoidant attachment style. And I think that it's important for you and everyone else to listen to this episode so that you can actually empathize with somebody who's going through this, because folks with an avoidant attachment style, oh my God, they get so much shit. It's really upsetting. People that have an avoidant attachment style want to be in a relationship just as much as folks that have an anxious attachment style. You're just feeling insecure and kind of responding to it in like slightly different kind of opposite ways, but you both really want to feel connected. So let's try to take it easy on those cute little avoidants out there. And I think that if you listen to this episode all the way through, you will fall in love with an avoidant and be really compassionate of their experience. That is my goal. If you want even more of me, and how could you not, then you should listen to my other podcast, Big Dating Energy. I would love it if you did. If you want to give me like a little positive reinforcement, then you should go into the reviews of this podcast and leave me a 5-star review. Tell me how lovely my work is. I would just swoon over you if you did that. And what else? I think that's it. I think I'm just asking you to be open-minded and understand the emotional experience of our caller that calls in today. That's all you have to do. It's a really good episode. You're going to love it. Okay, here we go. This is a podcast where we explore the intricate world of relationships and navigate the complexity of mental health together. I am Jeff Gunther, a licensed therapist, but in this space, I'm your host, not your personal therapist or the therapist for our guests. This show offers a platform for open conversations about relationship and mental health challenges, providing insights and perspectives for educational and entertainment purposes only. It's crucial to remember that our discussions do not replace professional therapy or constitute a therapist-client relationship between myself, our callers, or you, our listeners. If you're dealing with personal struggles or seeking support, I urge you to consult with a qualified professional who can provide the personalized care you deserve. Thank you for being here. Let's dive in. Hello, Amanda.
Hi, Jeff.
Hi, it's good to see you again.
You too.
How are you doing?
I feel lovely.
Yeah?
Yeah.
Today, we're talking to somebody who, interestingly, kind of like has the opposite problem. Vicky, when we were talking, who we talked to last week, she feels a little overwhelmed when somebody comes to her and asks for reassurance. So it'll be fun to kind of like help the avoidantly attached person. You don't get a lot of those, I feel like, in therapy. It's usually like the anxious babes that come and seek you out. So yeah. It's always like such a nice opportunity to talk to somebody who's a little more avoidant.
Yeah, that's great. I'm excited about this.
Yeah, me too. Let's see, anything to add here? I think that's all you need to know, and that we can just jump right into the call.
Perfect.
Okay, all right. Hello, Anne, how are you doing?
Hey, good. I'm doing great. How are you?
I'm good. Yeah, we're happy to be here with you, and we're wondering what your problem is. Why don't you let us know?
Yes. So I'm in a new relationship and I have a partner who is very verbal, and he likes to talk about how our relationship is going. And he sends me follow-up messages or emails after dates. And to me, this analysis of our relationship is really challenging. And it's not very comfortable to me. It feels like, kind of adversarial, even though he's communicating it really effectively. But I think just talking about it makes me kind of uncomfortable.
Interesting. Can you give us a little bit of an example of his analysis or what he might say?
Yeah. So he likes to talk about like, how are things going? How could I be a better partner for you? That sort of conversation is like pretty much daily. And to me, I'm kind of more of the like, oh, let's just like see how things play out. I would rather that we just date and figure out how we're doing and have fun together and maybe not talk so much about how the relationship is going.
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Do you know, does that come, are you aware of like, does that come from like an anxious place on his end? Or is he just being curious? Like, I just want to like meet more of your needs, or like, let's have a little check-in. What's the energy coming from his end?
Yeah, I do think it comes from somewhat of an anxious place for him. But I also recognize that for me, like, I'm not really that comfortable with such direct conversation about the relationship. I think he also just has a lot more experience dating than I do. He's been with long-term partners, and I have tended to date pretty casually. So it's really uncomfortable for me.
Have you told him about this, or are you just like doing your best?
Yeah. I mean, we talk about it a lot. And it ends up feeling like a lot of like meta analysis about the relationship. Like the majority of the relationship has then become an analysis of the relationship. And I know that for him to feel secure in the relationship, like he would like to be engaging in these conversations. And for me to feel secure in the relationship, I would like to not be engaging in these sort of conversations.
Mm-hmm. And he knows that, but you're still having these conversations daily.
It's definitely slowed down. And I think he's coming around to this idea of like, okay, like Anne just wants to be, you know, having a good time and having experiences together. And then I worry that he's not getting what he needs. He's not getting the security that he needs.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. So you're trying to figure out like, is there a good compromise here, or how can you tolerate this as well?
Yeah. Yeah. And I mean, also like, is it normal? Like, it's so weird being in a relationship because you don't have a third party that's watching and giving you feedback on like, who's being crazy here? Like, and I think it's probably everyone. Like, I think probably both of us are entering with our own really different unique experiences and expectations. But I just am questioning, like, am I in the wrong here?
Hmm. Well, and you said you typically date really casually and he doesn't. How do you feel about this relationship? Do you want this to be really casual, or are you interested in something else?
I went into this thinking, okay, let's fully do this. This is someone I really want to invest in. And I would like to be in a conventional relationship with him. I hadn't realized how casual my dating history had been until I was actually in a relationship with someone who's super intentional. So I thought that I was ready for this sort of thing. And now I'm realizing like, oh, maybe there's like a middle ground we could strike where like, we're still having fun, like people who are dating casually, but there's still a level of being intentional about what we're doing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And what is that when you say having fun, the way people who are dating casually, what would that look like or feel like for you?
I think just, you know, still going to events together, going to parties, having the foundation of the relationship be having experiences together, traveling, doing cool stuff, and maybe not spend so much time thinking about the future, looking at the future, making plans, like living in the moment.
Got it. Okay. And can I ask one more question? Have you stopped doing those things together? Are you no longer going to shows, traveling, going out?
Oh, we're totally doing that stuff. Yeah.
Oh, okay. Yeah. Okay. Okay.
Yeah. You've used the word experience a handful of times now. Like, you like to have experiences and have fun and be in the moment. And that's sounds like one of your primary ways of connecting with somebody, right?
Yeah. Absolutely.
And that's fun. We love that for you. Yeah. You sound like a blast, like just like a great person to be around, friends with, or date. Yeah. We love this. And it sounds like I imagine he enjoys that too. Like that's a fun way for him to connect with you. Yeah.
Yeah.
Uh-huh. And he also wants to be able to connect in this other way, right? Of like processing. He likes to use words, or he likes like words of affirmation, or right, like analyzing. And that's how he can feel really connected to you. right? Which is a little like, I don't know, maybe not what you're used to or not what you've had in past relationships, and kind of like, is it unattractive to you? Does it like repel you?
Yeah. I mean, it's kind of a turn off, like feeling like I'm in a job interview in those situations.
Okay. Interesting. Well, can you say a little bit more about that? What makes it feel like a job interview?
I think having to, on the spot, verbalize, you know, and say the right thing, say what they're trying to hear. And then if I'm hearing the same question every day, like, how can I be a better partner? You know, how is things going for you? I feel like maybe I didn't give them the right answer the last time. So then I try like, oh, I'm going to try a different answer. Like, what are we getting at? Can we just like, can you tell me what the answer is? So then I can just tell you that thing. And then we can move on and get past this and like go back to just doing fun things.
But what is the real answer for you? Like, if you weren't trying to think about what he needs, what's your actual answer?
Oh God, I don't know. What is my actual, well, I think I don't have an answer for him. I don't have a good answer for him, which is probably why he's dissatisfied and keeps asking me the same questions. Because I think for me, I need to have those positive experiences with someone before I can formulate the words and have an answer to the question, how is this going? Like, I don't know how it's going, because so far all we've done is talk about the relationship. We need to do something first, so then we have an outcome that we can talk to. And I think for him, he needs that, like, that repetition of like what's going on and that feeling of security before then he can feel comfortable doing things with someone or having experiences.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. I think you're probably right, Anne, that like I'm imagining that like one of the reasons that he's like asking for this over and over again is he's not quite getting what he needs. And he might not even be able to, or maybe he can, but he might not be able to like verbalize exactly why he's like asking you this over and over again and what he's not quite getting. But there, it just might feel like a, like he's not feeling as connected as he wants to feel. He's feeling like somewhat insecure or anxious in this relation, at least partly, right? And so he's just like trying to be curious to figure out like, well, what else can I do, or how else can we connect in order to like for him to feel more anxious. It's almost like he might be, I don't know, he could be kind of like putting his relationship anxiety onto you and being like, can you help me through this? Can you help me solve this? But it also seems like he's being really vulnerable, right? Like he's being really emotionally honest. And I imagine that you'd want to be with an emotionally honest person, but the amount of like how often he's doing it sounds overwhelming to you. Is that right?
Yeah. And I don't have a satisfying answer for him at this point of like, hey, do you want to be with me? Like, how committed are you to this? I'm like, I think I feel pretty invested in this and I feel pretty happy with this. But then again, we've only been together for 3 months. So let's just keep, you know, let's keep having experiences together and having fun together and then see where it goes.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. He's saying like, can you reassure me? And you're saying, I don't know. Let's see.
Yeah. I don't know that I can. I don't. Thanks, Adam.
You're being honest. Yeah. And we love your honesty. Right.
Right.
Right, Amanda. Yeah.
Yeah. And that is your answer, right? I don't know yet. This hasn't been long enough for me. And so you're totally right. That's why he keeps pinging you for it, because he's hoping you will know.
Yes. Do you, Amanda and Anne, like, well, Anne, does he know, like, that this is somewhat of a turnoff for you? That like this is kind of like he's looking for connection and it's actually making you feel a little less connected because you're just like, ugh. Does he know?
I think on some level, I think he knows. He has an inkling at this point. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Have you been able to tell him?
I think I need to spell it out more clearly that like I actively feel disconnected when we have these conversations. But I've spent so much time wondering that, oh, I'm the one that's wrong on this. So I should just like push my feelings aside and just try to figure out how to help him feel secure.
Yeah.
Jeff and I both agree, never push your feelings aside. Definitely you want your partner to feel secure, but we don't want you to push your feelings aside.
But what if your feelings are wrong? What if you're the one that's like doing it wrong?
feelings just aren't wrong. There may be skills you need to develop, right? Maybe there are skills you need so that you can have really great, secure functioning, but your feelings themselves aren't wrong. And really showing up with those and saying, here's what I'm wrestling with, is so beautiful.
And what do you, what do you think of what Amanda just said, Anne?
Yeah, I'm trying to process that. Okay. I'm worried that if I say, like, hey, these conversations about our relationship are a real turnoff for me, that I'm, I don't know, is that like kind of an asshole thing to say?
It sounded a little bit, yeah.
Uh-huh. Yeah, there might be a different way to phrase that.
Okay.
There might be a different way that would actually feel inviting.
Yeah.
That's the trick, and that's what we're here for you for. Like, how do you tell him that? How do you send that message to him? Let him know what your experience is so he can have that data and figure out what he wants to do with that, and so that you can be sort of, like, authentically aligned with yourself. And then is there some sort of, like, compromise or skills that both of you need to use so that you can both feel pretty good, you know, about where things are right now, right?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. I mean, I would like to offer something here. You know, I'd like to offer him something if he's seeking something. Mm-hmm. I just don't know what I can authentically do. Mm-hmm.
So you really like him. That seems clear. Or you wouldn't care. You wouldn't care what he needed.
Right.
Yeah. Great.
You also feel like, Anne, it seems like you've said this a couple times, like, you don't want to be wrong. Like, you don't want to be the asshole. And you jokingly were like, who's the crazy one? But that's not 100% a joke, right? Like,
please tell me. If it's me, just tell me.
You're not being crazy. I don't think either of you are the crazy one.
Good.
I don't think that either of you are crazy, but I think you both have, like, a bit of a challenge of how to connect, because you're a bit on opposite ends of the spectrum when it comes down to it. Like, you might be classically, and I don't mean this in, like, a derogatory way, you might be, like, more avoidant, like an avoidantly attached person, while he's more of, like, an anxiously attached person. That sort of simplifies everything, and there's a lot more nuance that we're probably missing. But this is an opportunity for both of you to be in a healing relationship and figure out how to communicate. And you're still here, so there must be a lot of good in the relationship for you to even be, like, calling in and being like, what the fuck do I do here? I like this guy. Yeah. I want him to feel more secure, and I'm feeling kind of lost. Like, that's beautiful. Yeah. So no, you're not crazy. He's not crazy. It's good of you to be like, I want to, like, try to soothe him and feel more secure. But you're getting frustrated. He's picking up on that because he keeps on asking the same goddamn thing every fucking day, right? So Amanda and I need to come up with, like, some solution for you to go to him and, like, talk to him in a way that he can hear and feel validated and get, like, a little bit more security, and for a way for you to feel, like, not so overwhelmed by this constant thing, right?
Yep.
Okay, great. I think we got it. Amanda, what are your initial thoughts on this?
Well, one thing I was just thinking is we often call in partners who are wounded in a place that we're kind of shut down to. And we're often wounded in a place that they're shut down to. And so when Jeff said this is, you're a little bit opposite in what you're needing here, but it's such an opportunity to say, how can I wake up and how can I invite him to wake up so we can both start getting more of what we need? So that feels really promising. And I really hear you already saying you want to do that, right? I want to give him what he needs, but I'm finding it to be challenging. I liked what you started with. When we have these conversations, what did you say? That we said, we're going to reframe that, but to tell him, when we have these conversations, it's such a turnoff. Is that what you said?
Right. I mean, that Jeff came up with that wording, and I was just, great. I was borrowing it. I didn't know that it was acceptable to say that a conversation could be a turnoff, but I'm going to take it now.
Well, we want to tweak that a little bit. We want to tweak it.
Yeah.
Okay.
But you do want to communicate, hey, something's happening for me internally when we keep having these, so that he knows what's going on for you and what the impact is.
Yeah.
Yep. So you might want to start out with like, hey, let me tell you what's going on. Let me like clue you into what my experience is. Like, I like you. I enjoy spending time with you. I'm having a lot of fun with you. Right. And sometimes when you come to me to like analyze or ask for like, what more can you give, or, you know, have a relationship check-in, whatever. I think that's so sweet that you're wanting to like feel even more connected to me. And I love to see it. But the way that you ask, sometimes like I start to shut down and then I feel bad about it. I feel kind of guilty about it. I feel like the asshole all of a sudden, because you're clearly coming to connect. And then I feel overwhelmed and I feel like I'm not going to give you the right answer. And I don't know exactly what to say. I want to try to figure out what to say to you, but I'm feeling a little helpless, you know? So that's where you probably start. Like, I'm just like letting you know what my experience is. How do you feel about that part, Anne?
Yeah, that sounds good. Mm-hmm. And I think the way that he's doing it is great. I have no problem with the way that he's communicating. I think it's just like the frequency and the point in the relationship, like so early on in our timeline.
That right there is such beautiful feedback. The way you're coming towards me is so great, and what you're saying is great. But the frequency is really hard for me.
And it's not because I don't like you. And it's not because I don't want to continue being with you. I just get a little overwhelmed with the frequency. And it makes me feel like I'm not giving you what you need, right? You're wanting to connect with me, but I'm starting to feel like overwhelmed and disconnected. So then there's different places to go, right? Like, then you can kind of be like, can we talk about it less? Can I reassure you in a different way? Can you first ask me if I have the emotional capacity to have this conversation, right? Like, I will consent to having it when I feel open and able to, but if you just sort of spring it on or whatever, and it comes in like, then it gets all weird and you probably feel like even more insecure than when you first started this conversation, right? Yeah. How do you feel about those things?
Yeah, I like that. I made a note here for, can I reassure you in a different way? Like, literally any way that doesn't involve talking about it, I would love if that was an option.
Yeah.
And when you've kind of touched on this, but when you have to talk about something, you just feel put on the spot, you kind of freeze, or you're like trying to find the thing that'll make it go away. It's really like uncomfortable in your body and your brain.
Yeah. 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 How can we get through this as quickly as possible and then just like get you what you need so that we never have to talk about this again?
Yeah.
Cause I also think that like we've all to some degree have experienced this. Okay. How can I reassure you in different ways? And there's lots of different ways. You can be like more physically affectionate. You can send more emojis when you're not together. You can talk about the future. You can talk about like things that are coming up. You can what are other ways, Amanda, that you can kind of?
Well, I'm wondering how you like to reassure him or communicate that you really care about him.
Yeah, what is your
idea? I think just spending time together, planning really cool dates, sending thoughtful messages, introducing him to people who are important to me, including him on cool stuff, taking trips together.
He might need some reminders or like that, like, because you put him on the calendar, because you've introduced him to important people, because you go to events, because you like he's on your arm when you go to a party. Those are all major things that he should feel good about, because you wouldn't do that for anyone else. Like, those are big signs that you like him, right? So he might not be totally picking up on that, and you might need to like remind him of that and let him know, like, I can't wait to continue to do those things. Like, all the experiences that we're creating together is my way of showing you how much I am psyched about being with you, right?
Yeah.
That's all. Yeah.
Yeah. It became clear to me a few weeks ago that we had a difference of style there, because we had a series of like 3 days straight where we spent together. We went to parties together. We did all this cool stuff. I thought we were having a blast. And at the end of the weekend, he said, I feel so disconnected from you. And I'm like, wait, in the same place at the same time because we just had so much fun. We just like spent the last 3 days straight laughing and hanging out together. How could that feel disconnecting? And he's like, well, because we haven't talked about our relationship or, you know, because you avoided this conversation or, you know, I called him, I have nicknames for him that in some of them he doesn't like. So I've avoided those, but, you know, I called him sir at one point. I thought was funny and he thought that was really disconnecting. So, so yeah, realizing that we have, really different ways of experiencing what connection even is.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. And that must feel so defeating for you when you're thinking we had a great 3 days and it was so fun. Mm-hmm. And this person I thought I was really connecting with is not having the same experience.
Yeah.
What are you thinking, Amanda?
Well, it sounds like your goal is to talk less. That's your primary goal here. to talk less, to analyze the relationship less. Okay. Have you noticed anything else that comforts him or makes him feel secure or stabilized in that moment besides a chat?
He does like getting messages from me throughout the day, just like regular check-ins. And I can totally do that.
Amazing.
I can send funny, cute voice memos all day long.
Perfect.
That's good.
That sounds great.
Do you typically have these conversations in person?
Yes.
Yeah. Do you feel, are you like being like affectionate with him, like touching him, holding his hand, like when he's having it? Like, do you physically connect with him when he's?
Yeah, I think so. Yeah.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Cause I was just wondering like, what else is there that you can do? There's also like, so when he brings this up and you all of a sudden there's something inside of you that feels a little repelled, do you want to like get some space? Do you want to like get 5 minutes or 15 minutes? Do you want to be like, I want to have this conversation, but not now. How about tomorrow? Like, how can you, yeah, what do you think?
I think early days, I would do that. I would say, hey, you know, now's not a good time, or I just don't feel like having this conversation. There's always a really great excuse that I could come up with. It was too late or I was tired or whatever. Mm-hmm. And then he called me on that and he said, well, you say it's never the right time to have these conversations. So, and then I'm like, oh, okay. Apparently that's a thing I do. Okay. So now I'm like, yeah, wherever it is, let's have that conversation right now.
Yeah. And I want to just say, it's so normal, especially early in the relationship, for one partner to say, I'm not ready to define this. I don't know where we're going. We are just getting to know each other. That is really, really normal. And then you have this, you know, added life experience of not really ever being in a serious relationship. So this is a huge learning curve for your system.
Yep.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah. And it's okay if you can't give him everything that he needs.
Yes.
Right. And it's okay if he feels a little anxious after a conversation because he didn't get it. And he's going to have to figure out how he's going to handle that anxiety. He's going to self-soothe or talk to a friend or get a therapist or just deal with it. Right. Like, you don't have to take care of all of those needs. But I think that you should like do as much as you can without resenting him, without like wanting to just like run and be disconnected. So that's something for you to like think about, right? Of like how much, and that's going to change daily, maybe, right? Of like, I can give, you know, 7 out of 10 or I can give 3 out of 10. But I want him to like see the honest like amount that you're able to give so that he can figure out if that's enough for him. That's not your job. You know what I mean?
Yeah.
Well, and the trick there is going to be going, how can I grow? My authentic self really wants to grow here and show up as a secure functioning partner. And sometimes I'm overstretching and not really being true to me. So how do I find that balance where I'm trying to stay as close to center as possible going, yeah, I have things I want to shift in the way I communicate and show up. And I want to stay really true to who I am and what I need to, and not just produce information to try to calm somebody down.
Yep.
Yeah. That's a really good point, is like, how, like, am I able to grow just a little bit? Am I able to, like, get out of my comfort zone a little, but not so much so that you're hating yourself or resenting him for doing it and feeling burnt out, right?
Yeah.
So unfortunately for you, it seems like another conversation needs to happen where you need to talk about these things. Yeah. What are you thinking, Anne?
No, I think it's good to have that clarity of what is happening. And I feel very prepared for that conversation.
Yeah. Yeah. You took some notes and everything.
Yeah.
Okay. All right, so let's sum this up for her, Amanda. Having another conversation about like what your experience is when he goes to you. He's wanting to connect. You feel disconnected. Asking him like, how can I show you in other ways? How can I reassure you in other ways that I like you and I'm feeling connected?
I think it would be really important to talk to him about the impact on you.
Right.
Right.
I need to, this is happening.
Yeah. We have to find some other ways without having this conversation every day or five times a week because it's really draining me.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And then you, I don't know if this is a problem for you or not, or if this is an issue, but then you sort of like being okay if he doesn't get all of his needs met in the conversation. Does that, do you feel guilty if he doesn't get everything?
No. I mean, I think I had told him at one point, like, I don't think that we will feel a sense of security in a relationship that's this early on. And I don't know that people should ever feel totally secure in their relationship. Like, isn't that some of the excitement of it? We have to choose each other each day. And that's terrifying. So.
But would you like to feel more secure?
I feel super secure.
You feel really secure in the relationship?
Do.
You do. Okay. So you're just hoping he will catch up to you.
Yeah. Yeah.
Okay. Great.
Okay. Great. Okay. Okay. We are going to leave you with that. Your homework is to have this conversation with him, and then you're going to come back same time next week, and we're going to see how it went.
Okay. Awesome.
Okay. It was really good talking to you, Anne, and we'll follow up with you soon.
Yeah. Thanks, y'all.
Okay, so how much did you like Anne, Amanda?
I think Anne is a beautiful human being.
I think so too. I think Anne did a really good job talking about like what her experience is as somebody that gets overwhelmed with an anxious partner, right? And I thought one of the parts that was really interesting was she was like, tell me if I'm wrong, tell me if I'm crazy, right?
Right. Yeah.
Where do you think that was coming from?
Well, I think something we don't think about a lot when we have higher anxiety and our partner tends to display more avoidance is that they also are really anxious a lot of the time. Mm-hmm. The behavior just looks different. So it's really beautiful to watch her be really vulnerable about that anxiety.
Yeah. She's likely just as anxious, but her boy goes towards her while she wants to go away. And those are just like two, you know, sides of the same coin sort of thing, right?
That's right.
And, you know, we said this, but I thought it was really sweet that she wanted to figure this out, you know? And a lot of times I deliberately frame these situations as like, wow, what a healing opportunity you have. Right? Because it's true.
So good. Yeah.
It is, right? And sometimes we need to just sort of like shift the perspective into that place because otherwise you're just like, I can't fucking take this. This person is so annoying. And you don't really want to grow. And you mentioned that of like, think about how much you want to grow here. Like, how can you get into like a slightly uncomfortable place? And we talked about like get into that space and try not to go into like the big resentful space because otherwise anger or contempt or frustration is going to build and you're not going to be able to like connect emotionally, right?
That's right. So that's a skill, right? How do I push myself to the edge, which is going to cause discomfort? That's growth, right? But not push myself over the edge into this place I can't tolerate anymore.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah.
And I thought it was, I didn't mention this. Maybe we can talk to her about this next time, but it was funny how, like, you know, he was trying to, at the beginning, initiate these conversations, and she kept avoiding it. I'm too tired. It's too late, you know? And then he called her out on it. We love that. And she took that. Like, she was like, okay, he's right. And now I'm just going to – and then it seems like she almost, like, overcorrected, which is like, I'm always going to have this conversation with him then, no matter what, because he called me out, and that's a good call out, so I'm going to do this. But now she's, like, feeling burnt out. And also a little helpless, right?
Yeah, it's really depleting her. And we don't want to get into that space where we're like, I'm just going to come up with whatever answer they want to hear so we can shut this conversation down. Because then we're not really in relationship either.
Yeah, exactly. Yeah. And that's the goal, is how to be in relationship and find like a compromise where you can both feel secure. And it's funny, when you asked her, like, do you feel secure in this? What was your intention when you asked that?
Oh man. Well, I wanted to talk more about how they probably are both experiencing some form of insecurity or anxiety.
Yep. That's what I thought. Yep.
Yeah. Because that feels pretty clear.
Yes.
That they both are.
Uh-huh.
But we don't have to talk about that. if we don't want to.
Uh-huh. I was like, I see what Amanda is doing here. This is a really good move. This is a really good question. And then she was like, I feel incredibly secure. And yeah. I think that she, like, I think she feels that, or she said that.
Yeah.
Not that she feels that. I think she said that because he's constantly like, I want to be more connected. I want to be more connected. Right.
So do you mean because she's experiencing that from him, her experience of herself is, well, I'm not feeling that insecure, so I must be great? Or do you mean something else?
I think it's like, I feel like he's not going to leave me.
Oh, because he's coming towards her so strongly.
So much, yes.
Yeah. Got it.
I think that's how she heard the question, or that's the answer that she gave, right?
Yeah. And as we know, insecurity in relationship, like you said, is this revolving door, right? So if he were to pull away a little more or act more distant, that might ramp something up in her that was more uncomfortable.
And that's sometimes, like, when you ask a question, because it's somewhat of a leading question, right? Like,
you're saying I was giving a leading question?
You were giving a leading question, Amanda. And you were going to use it. You were leading her to a therapeutic healing moment.
To right? her freedom.
Exactly. And that sort of thing happens so much when you're a therapist,
oh
right?
Oh, my gosh. All the time. Yeah. People don't want to bite.
No, they don't want to bite. And then, like, you know, this isn't a therapy session. We're just meeting Anne, and you have to respect it, right?
Yeah.
Like, okay, she didn't take that bait, and so fuck it. Like, we're like, now we're like moving through this. We're like continuing on.
That's right. I
love those moments in therapy, because that's the sort of, like, I don't know, the art of it, or the improv of it, or something, right?
Yeah. Do you let your clients off the hook like that?
It depends, is the answer. Mm-hmm. But the longer I know the client, the more I don't let them off the hook. Mm-hmm. But at the beginning of a relationship, I am letting them off the hook all the time. The intention is just like, we're here to connect and for you to trust me, and so that I can understand you and you can feel safe, you know, can't call out somebody too early. Mm-hmm. So I don't know. What about you? What do you do with your clients?
Yeah, I would say similar. Later in the relationship, I want to keep turning people back to the thing that I think is the thing. But you can't push too hard in the beginning of any relationship.
No, yeah.
Or you can. You can test it out and see what happens.
You can. Yeah. Exactly. Yeah. Do you feel good about the advice that we gave her?
Yeah, it feels really important that she move towards him with compassion and sensitivity, but not forget about her own needs. And mm-hmm. in this situation, she needs the dial to be turned down on that conversation.
Yeah. How do you think it will go?
I think she's going to do a really beautiful job. She's clearly very present, mm-hmm. present with herself, really wanting to be present with him. I think she will do a really beautiful job. I have no idea how he'll respond to it.
Yeah, I don't either.
Yeah.
I also think that she'll do a really beautiful job, and this will be a conversation that will have to continue for their whole relationship. And I'm not saying like, oh no, this is the same fucking talk over and over. It's just like, you're going to have to negotiate this. Tweaks here, tweaks there, sometimes bigger tweaks. And this is like the first, maybe one of the first conversations that you're going to have about this conversation in order to like continue to check in with it. You know what I mean?
Yeah. I mean, that's why we pay attention at the beginning of relationships, because these things are probably the things that are going to be a part of our dynamic for forever. So can we tolerate it, and can we negotiate it together?
Uh-huh. Can we? And if you can, great. And if you can, but you don't want to fucking do it, okay.
Great.
Like,
know that now.
Know that now. If you can't, and you're like, this is a growth edge I want to actually work on, cool, right?
Yeah.
But we need to start having it. And it's, you know, the last call and this call, one of the themes of all the calls, I guess, is just sort of like people trying their best and not knowing how to act. Being understanding and respectful of the person that they're with, but also kind of like wanting to know if they're doing the right thing, wanting to know what is the right thing, and us kind of saying like, don't abandon yourself and maybe you should speak up.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Yeah. Never abandon yourself. And especially if you're trying to make a relationship really thrive, right? We can't make a relationship thrive if we can't fully show up. Mm-hmm. And there's always negotiation.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And Anne's remark at the end, or no, did she say this on or off the mic? I can't remember. Of like, I thought I had seen it all. I've been like dating, right? And I've been, I thought I've like seen lots of different types of relationship problems or dynamics, yet here's another one. That shit lasts forever, right? Like, you've never seen it all, I feel
That's
like.
Correct. Yeah.
But there's a common feeling of like, oh, this? What the fuck is this? Like, I did not plan for this.
Yeah. Which is great. What a growing experience. You haven't seen it all.
Right.
Yeah. You get to learn more about you and how to love in this wild world.
I wonder what will happen.
I wonder what will happen.
Oh, I can't wait to check in with Anne again. Okay.
Okay.
Talk to you soon.
Bye.
Hello. It's good to see you again, Anne. How are you?
Hey, good to see you. I'm doing great.
Good. Why don't you give us a little update about this past week?
Yeah. So a week ago when we met, the guidance was to look for different ways that my partner and I could feel connected because that cycle of repeating the analytical conversations was not working. So I was really excited about that. The idea that I maybe didn't have to continue to engage in that same cycle. And I brought it up with my partner, and he initially, I don't think he liked the idea. I think he thought I was like trying to avoid it. Like I was trying to get out of having those conversations. So I had to really demonstrate to him, like, no, I think we can still meet these same objectives, but just do it differently. And so I made a lot of effort in the last week in that way, and it actually went really well. So I was thinking about different ways that we could connect, both to resolve his need for security, but also like positive ways we could connect and like have experiences together. And on the positive ways to connect, I created a playlist for him of like songs that were relevant for the two of us in our dating history. On Friday, we were celebrating 3 months together, and he planned a really nice date. So I was like, okay, I'm going to step a little bit outside of my comfort zone and come up with ways to help him feel connected. We also started reading the Bell Hooks book All About Love together.
It's such a beautiful book.
Yeah, I really like it because it's for someone that wants like more, I want like definitions for these things that are really abstract, and I want something that's really quantifiable. And I feel like she dives into that, which is really nice.
Yeah.
So we were tested on the weekend because he brought up on Saturday morning that he was feeling disconnected and he wanted more security. And at that point, I suggested that we have the conversation via email so that we could both like really take some time, and that format worked really, really well. So we kicked off this email chain of, and they're like really lengthy emails, and it was really lovely, like talking about things that we wanted to do together and really having an understanding. And I just feel like we communicate on these topics so much better via email.
Instead of text.
Instead of in person.
Why do you think that is?
Yeah. So there are a number of reasons. I think sometimes when, so we both have different native languages. And so there's sometimes where truly just like hearing each other and understanding what we're saying can be somewhat of a challenge. And sometimes these conversations, like he might say something in like a noisy environment and I literally cannot hear it. So I'm like truly trying to understand just for the sake of comprehension. Also sometimes like the timing is like, you know, it'll be like we were out partying and it's 11 p.m. at night and he says something and I really want to have that conversation, but I'm like so exhausted and maybe we've even been drinking. So it's like really not maybe the right time to be diving into these conversations. But if it's over email, there's time to like sit with it and like think about and compose a response. And I think I need more time with some of these topics. Like I don't have an answer for you like on the fly while we're driving or whatever. Yeah, email is just so much better for so many reasons.
Yeah, that's great. It allows you to really kind of like think about how you're feeling, what's going on. There isn't like a lot of pressure, it sounds like, that can happen in person or even over text message. Like texting somebody oftentimes, like you're expecting a response and to go back and forth really quickly. So that's great. We love to hear that. Was he also happy with the emailing back and forth?
Yes. Yeah. And at one point he... I said, hey, let's, how did it go? Maybe there was a text conversation while we were both at work the other day. And he was like, hey, I wonder if we can talk about that. Could you hop on the phone? And I said, actually, how do you feel about continuing this conversation via email? So I did kind of push back in that situation and he was like, absolutely, let's do that. And it was so incredibly positive. There are so many things in the conversation that I feel like either of us could have been defensive about, but because we had time to like really sit with it and like compose our thoughts and look at the big picture, and then make sure that we addressed all those like little deviations that a conversation can go in, that format worked really well.
Great.
Yeah, that is great.
Yeah, I mean, I don't think that it's like the end of all challenges.
Nope, that's
forever,
the end. That's the end. No more challenges.
Right, I know. Yeah, I know. But it did feel really good. And I think just like some other little things that we addressed were just like, while we were having one of these heavy conversations in person, and I just felt like we were spinning around in circles. He said, well, what do you need? And I said, like, I just need to feel connected to you right now. Like, I wonder if we could just climb into bed and cuddle. And he was like, okay. And then we did. And then like that analysis paralysis was over and we just like moved on with our day. So I didn't realize that that could be so easy. Like when we're sitting in like kind of a standoff, like, what are we even talking about? Like, where are we? Where are things at right now? And then just to interrupt that and also realize like, yeah, I do sometimes feel physically disconnected from you in these really heavy conversations. And I just feel like us being like feeling love together, isn't that just as valid as like endlessly talking about love.
And maybe even more important than trying to figure out all of these things.
Yeah. Yeah.
Yeah.
In our email exchange, I sent him, I started it off with like a link to this video of two otters that are like holding hands and floating on their backs. I'm like, this is what I'm looking for. And I don't think that these otters are like analyzing their relationship. Like they're just simply existing together. And I want to figure out like, how do we get back to that? And he also appreciated that metaphor and like, can we just get back to like being little otters floating together and just like feeling connected?
Yeah, that's a really powerful image and a very adorable image as well. and really kind of like gets you all on track of this is the goal. This is how we feel. And it's like a really sweet way to start the conversation. And it gets more to your point, right? Like you're saying that you're just like, you want to continue to have experiences like this instead of like getting lost in the theories and analysis and all of that stuff. And it sounds like that's what he wants as well. But he can like quickly get tripped up and get into like analysis paralysis. And before you were like getting tripped up with him. And so now you're kind of like speaking up a little bit more or pivoting or asking for what you need. And that seems to be working really well so far.
Yeah. Yeah, absolutely. Also, like he wants to be more included in stuff that I wasn't including him in because I thought it was like boring stuff, or like working on my house or, you know, getting invited to like a dinner party that I think is going to be really boring. So I feel like the generous thing to do is to not invite him and not make him suffer through that. And he's like, no, you're leaving me out. Like, let me make that decision. I want to go and suffer through this boring dinner party with you. So I'm like, okay, it's on you. I'm going to invite you to the worst stuff. You're going to regret this. But so that's our next thing that we're going to experiment with.
I really liked this kind of deeper knowing you had. Can we just crawl into bed and cuddle? Because that's actually what we're looking for, is this experience of connection. And we're not getting there, you know, using our logical mind and sitting opposite of each other and trying to figure it out.
Mm-hmm. Yeah.
Yeah, that, and also a little clarification of like you not inviting him to boring things was actually like you being very sweet and considerate of his feelings. But he didn't feel that way. So you guys just like talked about it real quick, understood what was happening, and you're like, all right, your funeral, buddy. Like, if that's it, let's do this.
Yeah.
Good. Yeah, that's a really good update. We love to hear it. Mm-hmm. It feels like you're on this like easier track where the communication has been boosted. And we'll see like as like if this can continue. Hopefully it sort of like lays the groundwork for even more communication. It seems like emailing is sort of the way to go sometimes, especially with like big things that feel pressured where you need to take a beat. I know that like this, you know, so I want everyone like that's thinking about this is to sort of like think about what your version of that. Sometimes it's emailing, sometimes it's texting, sometimes it's like a phone call, sometimes it's like taking many little breaks and going away for 5 minutes and coming back, or going away for an hour, whatever it is. And as long as you all like find your rhythm and both of your needs are getting met, then great. He or you might not be like 100% good. Like maybe he's just like, ugh, I wish we weren't emailing and we're doing this in person. But this is like, it sounds like it's working out and he's happy about that. But this is like also one of the little compromises that sometimes we have to make so that we can all feel like pretty comfortable in order to have these difficult conversations. So good job.
Yeah. Yeah. Mm-hmm.
Cool. We're happy that you called in and you gave like, you know, people who maybe like lean a little bit more avoidantly attached, you gave them a voice. And we don't always hear about you folks all the time. So way to go.
Yeah. Mm-hmm. Awesome. Yeah. I mean, okay. I would say they could reach out to me, but I don't want them to. Okay.
Great boundary.
All right.
Great boundary.
yeah. Okay. We'll end it there and I'll talk to you later, Anne.
Awesome. Thanks.
How did that go?
That went really well, I think. What do you think?
Yeah, it was good to hear Anne talk about being able to speak to what she wanted and kind of redirect things towards a different way of communicating or mm-hmm. even no communication verbally, but just spending time together, cuddling, presence.
Yeah. I mean, it reminded me of sometimes, like, when I'm talking to my couples in session, I remind them that they love each other, that we're mm-hmm. like on the same team here. We all have the same goal in order to feel more connected, but it's so easy to forget that sometimes. Mm-hmm. And I think Anne did a really good job sending that like really cute picture, being like, yeah. here's our intention. This is the goal, right? And then the like, you know, let's just email each other back and forth. As long as that's working well or good enough, then that's great. You are yeah. a lot more like thoughtful and deliberate about what you're saying. You can like edit the email before you send it off. It makes total sense. And you know, she like maybe like feels a little too overwhelmed when there's mm-hmm. like a lot of pressure for her to respond in the moment face to face. And I think that's a pretty typical way that our like avoidant babes can feel in relationship. And I think that she like she spoke well on behalf of avoidance. And I think that she's like a very like likable, sweet, smart person that like, I think anybody would be like, oh, she seems like she'd be a good partner. You might be willing to kind of like figure out how to make it more comfortable for her to express mm-hmm. her feelings, because there's so many positive things. And I think that like online, a lot of like avoidantly attached people can get bashed because we like narrowly focus on how they feel overwhelmed when big talks happen. You know what I mean?
Mm-hmm. Mm-hmm. Yeah. I think we can pull in more compassion to the conversation when we're talking about insecure attachment. And that's hard, right? It's hard to feel overwhelmed with hard communication, or like people are getting too close or not respecting our boundaries and not knowing how to communicate that. And so the impulse is to retreat. That's a hard way to live if people don't understand what's going on for you.
Exactly. Keeping in mind that they most likely like don't actually want to retreat. They're not having fun doing that, and they're not trying to punish you, right?
Right.
They're just sort of like wanting to find a way to get grounded because they're feeling incredibly overwhelmed.
That's right.
Yeah.
Yeah. Folks who are avoidant tend to regulate their nervous system by going away, and folks who trend towards anxiety tend to regulate their nervous system by coming towards. And that's a hard combo, but can be really worked out if people can be really considerate of each other.
Yeah, exactly. And they found a way so far to start working things out. And I also find it's like with somebody who like trends or leans more avoidant, they sometimes find themselves in this position where it's just like, well, I guess I got to try to do all the things that the anxious person is asking me to do. And there's no compromise. There's no me speaking up. There's, you know, like, and it's just like, oh, okay, fine. And then eventually you're just like, I can't fucking do it anymore. And the relationship ends. So if you can like negotiate and brainstorm together, and maybe the emailing will work for a little while, and then they'll have to move to text message or carrier pigeon or whatever, right?
Yeah, I think they should revive the ancient art of letter writing. That is so sexy and so lost to us, but it's slower, it's beautiful. You can add in poetry.
You can add in poetry. Ugh. Do you, when you write letters, do you use cursive?
Oh, you know, I have a combination.
Do you?
Yeah. Some cursive, some not.
Do you remember when you were a child and you were in elementary school and you were learning cursive? Because I do. And I always thought that this was like, this was so futuristic.
Cursive.
Cursive is like a mature, adult, futuristic way. and typing was so pointless.
Because cursive was in your future. Yeah, I protested, but I'm so glad I did. Now I'm a really quick typer, and it saves me a lot of time. Do you write in cursive now? Have you attained your future adult self?
I haven't. I've forgotten most letters
in cursive.
In cursive, yeah.
Wow.
And there's, well, maybe not most letters, but there's some that I like have to stay away from, like the the a Y, I think. I forget a K or a Z. I think a Z is just a squiggle. So yeah. Because of those letters, I just don't do it anymore. And it's really too bad because I was really good at cursive in third grade.
I bet you were. 8 years old. It's like the peak of your cursive career.
It was all downhill after third grade. Yeah. Anyways, that was great. I loved our talk with Anne. Yeah. And maybe I'll follow up with her one of these days and see how everything is going so I can update you all.
Yeah, do.
Thanks for being with me, Amanda.
It's always lovely to be with you, Jeff.
It is.
Yeah. Was that a question?
Nope.
Okay.
Bye.
Bye.